Yeah. Happy Bruce Arians era on the Ira Kaufman podcast. The sage of Tampa Bay sports uttering his first public words since the change of regime. Here we are. I am Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here. We are the Joes. Ira is here. He's fired up. The podcast is presented by Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac. Brandon Sage, you're looking good. No Congol hat there, but not bad. We're going to get you one.
I got the new sweatshirt from Christmas. I've been wearing it every day for 2 weeks. My wife says, can I wash it? I said, not till the Bucks hire a head coach. Well, now they got it. Buck fans are rejoicing.
They are.
Rejoicing. This is a guy who went 34-14 in his first 3 years of inheriting a 5-11 football team. 34-14. This is a guy who resuscitated the career of Carson Palmer, who was stagnating at that point. Had some decent seasons in Cincinnati. Carson Palmer in 2015 was the MVP runner-up to Cam Newton. That's how good a season he had.
I did not know that.
Yes, he did. So Bruce Arians is a proven commodity. He's here for two purposes. Win football games, make the damn playoffs, end that freaking drought, and turn Jameis Winston around and prove that he is the long-term answer under center in Tampa. If he does either of those two things, either of them, Buck fans will be jubilant. Absolutely jubilant.
I got a million-dollar question for you, Ira, but I don't have
I got a 99-cent answer. What's your question?
That's a great response. What is more important? And list of priorities, and there's Bucks fans listening to this going to work. They're going to run off the road and level people's mailboxes when I say ask this. Which is the highest priority for Arians? Knowing that Arians is only going to be short-term, I do not expect him to be here at 70 years old or older. Get Winston straightened out or win games?
You can never get past the win games, Lee. I understand your question. It's a fair one because Winston means so much to this franchise. Change this culture around and make it a winning culture. And I throw this out, Isbitz, right to you. If they're winning games, it probably means Jameis Winston's playing good football. They probably go hand in hand.
Bingo. That's exactly why I asked that, because I'm sure Bucks fans are like, how could you even think that? You know, Winston above games, above victories.
Winston throws 40 touchdowns and they go 7-9. Glazers are not going to be happy. Neither are Buck fans. Just not going to happen.
But you figure the Bucks are going to, if Jameis has turned around, they should be winning games.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, Arians is smart enough to know that, you know, Jameis could blow a knee out tomorrow and that the team is bigger than the quarterback. He knows that. And I don't sit well. The whole short-term thing doesn't sit too well with me because Arians isn't thinking short-term. When you're winning, you tend to hang around long-term. If he's winning, he's probably going to hang around. He might get some help with him. If he's losing, he'll be out just like any other coach.
He might not have
out.
A choice, Steve, with health issues. You Bingo. Never sure. know. Bingo. You never know.
Sure, he might not have a choice, but it's hard to predict that he's going to keel over. And if that's, they put him through the ringer on that. I don't know. I don't know how short-term he is in the way that the whole team can even think about it. It's an interesting debate. We'll discuss that, the whole secession plan and all that stuff and who's next. You know, I'm just happy he's here.
Let me interject for a moment and make a salient point.
Interject and salient in the same sentence.
Lee, some website, I can't remember which one, said it was going to be Arians and said the announcement was going to happen on a Tuesday. I can't remember the website. Lee, can you refresh my memory?
I saw it, but I had never heard of it. I'm not knocking the people there. I had never heard of the website before. So maybe they know Arians, or maybe they know. No, I'm not going to.
I was being sarcastic, Lee.
I am being sarcastic, Lee.
I'm not being sarcastic.
I believe there was a website last week that said it was going to be Arians and it was going to happen on a Tuesday. Well, am I wrong?
There was someone outside of Joe Bucks fan. There was a website that had the same stuff. I don't know if they purloined it off us. I'm not going to sit here and act like some schmuck, and because I don't have the information, rip the website without naming it. Rip the website on social media.
I asked you the question to try to pump up the website. You missed the whole point of the question. Give them a little credit once in a while.
Well, what I'm getting at is I'm not going to be a schmuck and go on social media and tear our website apart. I'm not one to spike the football and do laps around the field. However, you rip me on social media. Business partner, you rip us on social media, I'm going to do laps. I'm sorry.
I'm not asking you to disparage any other website. I'm asking you to bolster your own credibility.
But there was a website. I saw it.
Do you know what he's talking about, Isbitz? someplace from Taiwan?
He made it very clear and unclear, or a website that he doesn't know the name of or remember right now, had same story Friday. Don't know if they picked it up from us or not. Who knows?
Now, there was...
I don't know what it is.
This Albright guy that works out of Denver, I think. He seems like a nice guy, and he's giving us credit. But he had also linked an NFL site I never heard of before that also had the same thing. Now, I know
In the words of Izbits, most Buck fans don't care
who
was wrong, as long as Arians got that job, and it did happen.
Well, but what I'm getting at, Ira, if I don't know the website, or just completely rip someone on social media because they didn't have the information, that's not me.
I didn't ask you to rip anybody, DeKemper.
I am saying right here now.
I asked you to allude to your own website.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Steve, am I missing something, or is he responding to the wrong question?
No, look, come on. You're being a wise guy now, Sage. Now you're being a wise guy. Look, very clear what happened. We haven't had a podcast since then. No, we had a Monday's podcast.
Well, you weren't on it.
Yeah, we put it out there on Friday afternoon, very simply. Bucks fans, Joe has it on good authority that – the team is all set. The plan at One Buck Place is to hire the new head coach announce it no later than Tuesday. Next sentence simply said, expected to be Bruce Arians, but 100% is 100%. Can't confirm that yet. Obviously, meaning until the guy puts his signature on the paper, it's not a done deal. But the message was clear. The tone was clear. The craziest thing to me is, you know, having all of us worked in journalism, based on the passive-aggressive tweets of various media types out there, they seemed in stunned disbelief that two things. One, their own source could be BSing them, which we all know sources BS you all the time. Number two, that somebody else couldn't possibly have a source that was different and accurate. So, I mean, it was just
very
silly.
Well, I would add a number three, that it came from Joe Bucks fan. And that rankles people.
That's the word I was going to use,
it rankles. It rankles.
That was the
people.
Verb I was going to use, rankles.
It rankles.
Yeah, which is almost kind of funny. You know, I could understand it 8-10 years ago, but, I mean, good golly, you know, we're entering our 12th season covering the team. And
I believe this is not the first time we've been ahead of the curve, Mr. DeKemper.
What I thought was interesting was there was a guy used to – I know he's been a long-time reader, and I guess he got frustrated. I understand we're not everybody's cup of tea. I get that. Okay, fine. Just like Dumig wasn't everybody's cup of tea. Just like, you know,
and he lasted 25 years.
Yeah, thank you. And this guy, he referred to us as fly-by-night organization. Well, to me, fly-by-night means you've only been around a couple of weeks. I'm like, look, pal, we've been around since 2008. We've outlasted two sports radio stations. Lord knows how
five
many...
Five buck coaches.
Yeah, two GMs. Lord knows how many sports TV anchors and sports radio hosts. But we're fly by night? Give me a break. And we outlasted your beloved, and I like them too because, you know, the Tribune gave me an opportunity, so I'm going to stick with them and defend them, even though you had a sports editor that was clueless. But we outlasted the vaunted Tampa Tribune.
Now, wait a minute. We lasted 100 years in Tampa. I will not stand for that, DeKemper. Now, let's get back to Mr. Arians over here and stop this social media nonsense. Bruce Arians is the right guy at the right time. Why? Why?
Jameis.
You start with Winston. That's where you start. You might end there, too. If Jameis Winston, does not take the step up, however you want to measure it, and I want to measure it in wins. Freaking wins.
Yeah.
And that's how Buck fans are thinking, too.
I agree.
Win games. If he doesn't take the step up at the end of the year, the Glazers will have a conversation in private with Mr. Arians. What do you want to do with Winston going forward? Bruce Arians is not going to alibi for Jameis Winston if he doesn't think he's the right guy.
He's not going to alibi
for anyone.
That's
the way it should be.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be. He could say to the Glazers, we better draft somebody. We got to get somebody in free agency. He's not the guy. Either way, the Glazers will have a much clearer picture of Jameis Winston. That is, if it's not job one, it's 1A for Bruce Arians. Make an evaluation on Jameis Winston. He's the right guy to do it. He's the quarterback whisperer. And I dare say, Izbits, in this case, at this time, instead of whispering, he better be shouting. Because Winston's got 4 years behind him. He's not a rookie anymore. Lee, it's time to make a step up. And if you can't do it with Bruce Arians, I think the Glazers are going to say, he can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
He can't do it.
Yeah, it's the last stop. I mean, they're not going to flip coaches and say, well, Jameis had 6 years.
Give him a chance under another system.
He had six years to develop, and it's not going to happen. You know, he's not a bad quarterback, but to be the guy that
and get a long term extension.
He's got to be here. He's got to win games.
This is going to get
the
Ira.
Whole team's got to win games.
What I'm going to say is, this is going to get Ira going nuts. And I admit, I actually went a little Gaga.
Don't rankle me.
No, I'm not going to rankle you. But I went a little bit Gaga, not Lady Gaga, but I went a little bit Gaga when I saw this in a negative way. I'm like, come on, man. Deion Sanders was on some.
You've said enough. I don't want to hear anything that clown has to say.
Well,
when he's on, I turn the channel.
You do, but enough people don't, because he wouldn't be employed if he chased the eyeballs away. Deion Sanders, and he loves Jameis because he's a Florida State guy.
Yeah, here you go. There you go.
Deion Sanders was asked about Arians going to Tampa Bay and what that meant for Jameis. And he said Arians is going to succeed if he gets Jameis help. Now, I'm sorry.
You mean help on the offensive side?
He did not elaborate. If he is inferring that Jameis needs help on the offensive side, I'm sorry. He's out of excuses. Jameis has enough weapons. If Deion Sanders...
You're making my point about Deion Sanders.
Regardless, enough people watch him.
That doesn't make him incisive. There's another word for you.
Well, yeah, we don't know what he
I'm
was saying.
I'm on a roll today.
We don't know what he was saying.
I've heard enough from Deion
Sanders. Yeah, I hear you.
But he did not elaborate. If he was saying... the offensive line needs to play better. He's right. I don't think anybody would argue with that. If he's saying the Bucs need a running game, I don't think anybody would argue. But if he was saying Jameis needs help in that he needs more weapons, baloney.
If Deion Sanders is talking about how to cover Michael Irvin, I'm listening. Anything else, I'm turning the channel.
Hey, it could be mental help. Who knows what he was referring to? We just don't know.
Jameis has enough weapons in a passing game, period.
All right, Ira, look. Bruce Arians comes in here and... I know a lot of fans, they want to cling to coaches that they like, and they want to cling to players, but Arians is coming in here, anybody who's read about him or watched him or whatever, he's coming in here because the team sucks and most of the players suck. That's why he's coming in here. That's why they went back-to-back 5-11, and that's why a lot of players aren't getting better around Tampa enough, not enough anyway. And even if Jason Light tells us it's one of the best offenses in NFL history, Arians...
We know better.
We know better. So he's coming in here to clean house, bring in his coaches. No Mark Duffner hanging around. No Todd Monken. He's bringing in his guys, doing it my way, right out of the gate. And I think there's going to be massive roster overhaul, Ira. I'm just wanted to get your opinion on that.
All right, a couple of ramifications. If I had to hazard a guess, and this is along the line that I'll go back to what I said 2 years ago, Lee. You always talk about it. DeSean Jackson, you're in trouble. Mostly because Jameis is still back. Jameis is back. It hasn't happened for 2 years. No reason to think. More importantly, I think it's very good news for Cameron Brate. I'll tell you why. A lot of Buck fans want to get rid of Cameron Brate.
Why?
Hey, he only caught 30 balls, this and that. He's making too much money. Arians loves tight ends.
Does
he? He played two tight ends a lot with Arizona. And
okay.
He didn't have O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate. Brate is an accomplished red zone target.
Yes
he is. He never drops a ball. There's room enough for Cameron Brate in this offense. Now a lot of Buck fans have been asking this question: what about a 3-4? I'll say it right now, you're gonna see some, if not a lot, of 3-4 in Tampa, and I say it's about freaking time. Vita Vea is gonna play a big role in this thing. You talk about a classic nose tackle in a three-man front. It may not spell great news for Gerald McCoy. It may not.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So you're looking at a three-man front that opens opportunities for linebackers. They may not have all the four linebackers on the current roster that Bruce Arians is going to want to play if Todd Bowles is the D coordinator. Bowles. So we'll see. But a lot of ramifications to this thing, starting with the fact that sweeping changes are on the horizon.
Sweeping changes are
on the horizon.
Here's a guy that's sort of in the same boat as Jameis. He was a high draft pick. He's got 1 year left on his contract. Unlike Jameis, this guy is literally a forgotten man. Because I can't remember the last time the guy was on the field. His name is Noah Spence. And Alex Marvez reported, and forgive me, I can't remember his name, he was defensive coordinator with the Jets. He was defensive line coach for Arians with Bowles in Arizona. He's a Parcells guy. And I did some research this morning, and everywhere he's been, they've had decent, if not very good, sack totals with his defensive line. Only once since he's been a defensive line coach in the NFL, like a, he's been defensive tackles coach, but since he took over as a full, since he's been a defensive line coach, and he started with Parcells in Dallas, the worst sack totals he's had as defensive line, his unit was, I think, 19th. They, other than that, he'd been in the top half of the league in sacks. So,
are you implying that Brenton Buckner did a lousy job this year?
No, not at all. I'm saying if Spence couldn't have been turned around with J.A.'s, and to be fair, he was hurt with the J.A.'s. If he couldn't produce with Buckner, and if he can't produce with this cagey guy, bye-bye.
Well, Lee, I'll say this. I'll throw it to Isbitz in a second here, but Steve, I am going to not credit, but associate Spence's struggles not so much with the defensive line coaches, but with the scheme. It's not a good scheme for Noah Spence. And as an edge rusher in a 3-4, he's got a chance. He's got, now look, he's got a lot to prove. He's shown very little as a Tampa Bay Buck. But he's more suited as a 3-4 edge rusher. I'm not calling him the next Von Miller, but he would have a chance.
I hear you, Sage. Look, Spence doesn't excite me. He hasn't been very good.
If I had to guess, he's off the roster.
He looked fine in the scheme as a rookie, Ira. So yeah. I can't go there. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
He looked okay.
As a rookie, he looked fine.
Only okay.
Playing with one arm.
Can't stop the run. No factor on the
run. I got you, Ira.
True.
I got
overpowered.
That's why I'm saying I don't have much hope for Spence. And frankly, if Arians wants the straight dirt on these guys when he comes in on Spence, it's not going to sound very good from the GM on down.
And I'm sure he'll talk to Buckner. He can talk to Buckner.
I'm sure if he sticks around, if Buckner stays, which would seem odd if Buckner actually leaves.
Because it seems a little odd to me.
Well, you're paying the guy, so if you don't want him to be your D-line coach, okay, we'll make him, just keep him at a salary and make him assistant D-line coach or a figurehead or something.
I don't understand this rush to replace Buckner. I thought he did a nice job.
It does seem odd. Yeah,
see if it happens.
They went from 22 sacks to 38. Granted, most of those were from guys who were not on the roster the previous season, meaning JPP and Nassib.
I understand.
Well, the interesting thing will be when they change the defense, if JPP sticks around, because he was largely viewed as not a 3-4 guy, that's why the Giants dumped him, and JPP's trade value will never be higher than it is now.
Yeah.
You might be able to get a late second-round pick for him. You never know, which would be probably very enticing to Arians, who is probably going to want a lot of pieces in here, including some new old linemen and a freaking running back. On top of that, I'm very curious, Ira, and I'm just throwing it out there because I think it's possible. I don't know the relationship, but first let me let everybody know that the podcast is presented by our friends at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Get cash instantly for your trade during the InstaCash trade event at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Brian Danahy, general manager, he is starting your new year off right with up to $15,000 off 2018 Cadillacs. Or you can save big with 0% APR financing for 72 months. You heard it right. Get instant cash for your trade, then upgrade with up to 15 grand off. What a combination right there, Ira. Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Now at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, the 2019 XT4 has arrived. It's backed by Morse. And their website, edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. They're also having an InstaCash trade event. Get up to $5,000 more for your trade than what it's worth in the book, Ira. That's pretty exciting. So they're going to give you $5,000 more up to that. 2019 XT5 Luxury is only $465 per month on a lease. Get to edmorriscadillacbrandon.com, edmorriscadillactampa.com. So excited.
Well, Arians now has the keys to the Cadillac.
Exactly.
Well, I got to ask Steve, what was that four-letter word you kept saying? Starts with a C.
Cash?
Cash, Ira.
Cash.
Think about this. You get a new Cadillac and you get cash. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. It's a beautiful combination. I'll take either one.
Well, Steve, you're talking about getting a second-round pick for JPP, maybe. That tells me they'll spend it on a 3-4 end because you need pass rushers. They finally got a pass rusher, and then you get rid of a pass rusher. And the way the NFL is going, your best defense is getting heat on a quarterback and forcing an interception.
You know,
get forcing a fumble, forcing a bad throw. Because the way cornerbacks are playing these days, the way referees are calling a game, cornerbacks don't have a prayer. So there's a lot of Bucs fans out there that are screaming, draft a quarterback. And I think that's a waste on a couple of levels. One, it's a waste because how much draft capital have they spent on cornerbacks the last couple of years? Number one. Number two, cornerbacks can't cover guys anymore. So you might as well get some defensive end. If you're going to get rid of JPP, you're going to need a defensive end. So you might as well draft one at number five. It's going to be around 10, 15 years.
Speaking of the draft, I don't think it's crazy to draft a quarterback in the third round.
Oh, we'll hit on that, Sage. What I was going to say before our hearing from our friends at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Adrian Peterson is a free agent.
How many years are we going to talk about this guy on a podcast?
Well, look, the guy's coming off an excellent year, and it's not exactly things weren't opening up for Adrian Peterson because of the Redskins passing.
He's a freak. He's a freak.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't because of the Redskins passing attack opening things up. Peterson had a good year. He played. Remember, he went to Arizona with Arians. And remember, they faced the Bucs. He ran all over the Bucs. Arians, I don't know what the relationship is there with Arians.
Everybody ran over the Bucs that year, Stevie.
Not everybody. But in all seriousness, what was Arians' relationship with Adrian Peterson, who's going to be a free agent? And you might think that Arians might want a quick-hit guy to complement whoever they draft and be like, hey, you know, Peterson is going to bring us that running game we need. And he's going to be great for Jameis, and I don't know. It might be very interesting, and he won't be expensive.
Well, Adrian Peterson's growing on me, Lee, because every time I try to say the guy's through, he shows he's not. He's a freak. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, Adrian Peterson. There's not going to be a lot of discussion about him. He's still got a little something left in the tank. Now, I still think Peyton Barber would have ran for 1,000 yards behind a better run block and offensive line. I'm still sticking to that. I don't think Barber's bad, but I would not discount Peterson coming to Tampa for a year on a short-term contract. And I think Arians and Peterson have a good relationship. I don't think that's preposterous. I'm still drafting a quarterback in the third in the third round, my friend. I like drafting a quarterback, and you know what? Give Arians a year to evaluate that quarterback. Why not? I'm not using the fifth pick in the draft on one. You pick him in the third round, he doesn't have to play, Lee. You sit him.
Since you're dreaming of dinosaurs and guys that have connections with Arians, I think it's fair to say DeSean Jackson's played his last game in Tampa Bay.
I think he has.
Unless maybe Arians wants him, but I can't imagine that because we know what we know. You know, we know that DeSean Jackson was a menace in the locker room. I don't think that's too harsh to say a menace. What don't we know that he pulled in the locker room? But here's one for you. Again, dinosaurs, connections to Arians. Guy by the name of Larry Fitzgerald is a free agent.
Take it easy, Lee. Take it easy. You see, your mind runs amok. Your mind runs absolutely
amok.
Well,
we're talking about dinosaurs.
Do the Bucs need another target?
Well, DeSean Jackson's leaving.
I don't care. I don't care. You re-sign Humphreys.
I agree with that.
I mean, Larry Fitzgerald, they don't need another target, but you could certainly use him. However, the guy is such an institution in Arizona. He's like part of the franchise. I can't imagine he would even leave.
I think he takes snaps away from Godwin. He takes catches away from Godwin. I want to develop Godwin into a stud, and I think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think that's going to happen in 2019.
But the running game has to be addressed. It's interesting, Ira. You know, I know Anthony Becht, the former tight end who's on the Buccaneers radio network. He used to be, but still analyzes the games for their website. He said the same thing. And Peyton Barber, in his opinion, was the Bucs' offensive MVP. That was just his opinion. He felt just the guy played that consistently from a film standpoint and from an effort standpoint that was his MVP. Now, of course, he said that a little bit for effect, but you know, I don't know what Arians is going to think he actually has there. But
that is quite a condemnation of the Bucs' offensive line. If he's the MVP, and he ran for 800 yards.
Well, I just think it's...
Do we need to say anything more about the offensive line?
I love Anthony Beck, but that is just ridiculous. I mean, this guy, and someone tweeted Steve and I a week or so ago, and I couldn't help myself. Guy referred to Peyton Barber as great. To me, great is you're polishing a bust for the guy in Canton. This dude's never run for 900 yards in a season yet, a 16-game season. Let's hold off.
That might have been Peyton Barber's age.
Yeah, let's hold off.
He didn't identify himself.
Let's hold off here. I mean,
I understand.
Come on, calm down. And is this high school? Is Anthony Beck still in a high school mentality? I know his son plays for Wiregrass Ranch.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Wait a minute here.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Steve cited a comment that Beck said, Peyton Barber should be MVP because of his effort. Is this high school? You know, oh, you worked hard, so we're going to give you a trophy. Come on.
Yeah, it was only in part because of the effort.
Effort. There we go again.
I said only in part because of the effort.
I love Peyton Barber, and he works hard. Don't get me wrong. This is the NFL. This is not high school.
I am very curious to see what Bruce Arians thinks of the film of Donovan Smith. That's going to be a very interesting call there. Very interesting.
It will be.
He doesn't have any ties to Donovan Smith, Bruce Arians.
Can we all agree that Arians is calling all the shots, and he's basically Jason Light's going to be a puppet under this guy, at least for the first year?
He's going to have the clout. There you go. Clout. The clout. The juice.
Better than the clap. Yeah. Right, Aaron?
Oh!
Beck's point, I believe, I agree with what you said, Ira, which is that he was taking a shot at the offensive line, which him, just like... John Gilmore on the ex-tight end on the Buccaneers.
Yeah, what's with these ex-tight ends?
Yeah, they like tight ends. He also was no fan of the Bucs offensive line and felt badly for Peyton Barber running behind that line. So it's interesting, but the aspect of that decision at running back is going to be very interesting. And Donovan Smith, what do you think happens, Ira?
Well, again, it comes down to the question, can you do any better? If you think you can do better than Donovan Smith, you do it because it's that critical position. Most people rank it number two on the offense behind quarterback, left tackle, the guy that protects the blind side. I think it's a whole new ball game when Arians comes to town. By the way, people are forgetting that Jason Light, am I correct on this? Jason Light and Arians only had 1 year together, and Jason Light wasn't the general manager. He didn't call the shots. The first draft pick of the Bruce Arians era in Arizona was a guy named Jonathan Cooper. He was a guard from North Carolina. He was taken with the number 7 pick. It was the highest that a guard had been drafted in about 20 years. And the guy's played for 6 teams. He's had a lot of injuries, Cooper.
And you know who was playing guard the next year for the Cardinals?
Who was it?
Ted Larson.
Ted Larson. Yeah, you're right. Ted Larson. So I think it's a fresh set of eyes. What's interesting for Jason Light and his staff, Steve, they're going to have to change the way they evaluate players because you do your scouting to the scheme and to the coaches and what they want, and that's all going to change in 2019. Jason Light is going to have to reindoctrinate his whole staff, and he may make a few changes on that staff. Towards what Bruce Arians wants, Bruce Arians gets.
I would hope, and I love Jason Light. I would hope by now he would have taken his scouts aside, whoever the hell scouts running backs and kickers, and re-indoctrinated them by now. I would hope.
They just hired the guy, Lee. Take it easy. They just hired him.
What makes you? I shouldn't say it. There is nothing right now that we speak. Here today, January 9th, there is nothing that gives me confidence that anyone in this organization knows how to evaluate a running back or a kicker. I'm sorry. I love Jason Light. But how many times these guys had, you know, at the end of the day, he's responsible for his department. These guys whiff on so many running backs and so many kickers. It's a laughing stock.
Well, the counter argument is they're drafting some talented players and they're not being utilized properly by the coaching staff.
That is fair. And we will find out. We will find out in short order if that was the case or not. If Ronald Jones suddenly becomes a talked about MVP of the team because he almost hit 900 yards, then I think we could argue, okay, then Cutter misused him.
I almost forgot about Ronald Jones. He's so forgettable, you don't even count on the guy.
Very forgettable, Sage. Now, your podcast.
That's not forgettable.
It peaked into the peep. Peaked.
You sure you want to get into this over here, Izbitz?
I don't know why you think it's a negative.
Let me hear it.
Reappeared in the top 50 Google Play national rankings.
No sooner had I retweeted that Then the next tweet came down from Izbitz. You're out of the top 50, Kaufman.
I was like, are you saying there's shenanigans?
It's a yo-yo. It's a yo-yo.
It was six hours later, Ira. I mean, come on. Wasn't
when I grew up in Brooklyn, I didn't play with a yo-yo. Well, I don't know anything about a yo-yo.
You rolled dice
I'm
on the side, right?
I'm over there playing stickball in the street.
The rankings are honest by Google, all genres. All right,
where am I now? Where
I don't know, but it doesn't matter.
You know what? This podcast is so good today that it's going to bump me right back past Nancy Grace. Take that, Grace.
Now, where you were the last time you were ranked, all 6 hours, I guess. Well, you were
I was probably 49th. He's not telling me, but I, you know, I was probably.
What was the incompetence?
I really didn't even look. It was in the middle of the pack.
I was there with the Washington gang over there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was wedged into those political podcasts. But anyway, your podcast can be found there at Google Play. You can subscribe. You get an alert. I get it at my desktop at home. iTunes.
We may do another one tomorrow, Steve. We might.
Oh, yeah. Podbean, wherever. Sage is there, and you can leave comments and get a heads up when the podcast posts.
If Arians wants to get tight with Buck fans and stick carriers right away, he'll go on our podcast on Thursday.
Of course he will. Now, here's one for you. I just thought of this. You think the reason you got bumped up was you did an emergency podcast that posted on a Monday night?
Well, I thought you were going to say that we did it just the two of us without Izbitz. That's throwing Izbitz under the bus there, really.
Well, nobody
it
knows.
Suffered because he wasn't
nobody
there.
Knows that because they don't know that when they click on it.
So I mean, did you see the reaction when Steve posted that Monday night? The reaction?
Yeah.
I mean, people were celebrating in the streets.
I saw it.
All right, Sage, quick question. Donovan Smith, you brought him up. I don't want to toss him aside yet. Do you think that the Bucks would be wise, or Arians might come in here and say, Jason, there's a good left tackle out of Florida, 5th overall pick. Let's grab him and not look back.
Wouldn't surprise me one bit. Not one bit. If it's all about Winston, which we think most of it is, get a better left tackle if you can. Mm-hmm. But you better be sure that that guy's an improvement on Donovan Smith, who to me is a middle-of-the-pack left tackle. Not terrible. Middle-of-the-pack. Can you do better? If you can, do it. It's that important a position.
Lee, what do you think? You think they would pull it on a left tackle? Top 5 pick?
Maybe get the best left tackle
maybe,
out there.
Maybe trade down, get him at 7 or something like that?
If there was a, what's his guard year? This Quentin Nelson. If there was a Quentin Nelson-like left tackle, yeah. I don't know that there is. And this is the thing. This you know, this is the sad state of the NFL, that Donovan Smith may, I emphasize the word may, get job security because it's such a roll of the dice with college offensive linemen these days. With the spread, with the less practice, it's really a gamble. That's one reason why the Bucks haven't gotten rid of Donovan Smith, because they know your chances of getting the next Eric Flowers is equal to, if not better, than getting the next Tony Boselli.
Well, ask the Colts if they have any regrets about drafting Quentin Nelson.
Well, once again, if there was a Quentin Nelson-like guy at left tackle, and Quentin, people were going nuts over a guard in the draft like I've never seen before, and one general manager told me when I said, man, I don't know about drafting a guard in the first round unless he's the next Jay Hanna or John Hanna, and this general manager looked at me and goes, he might be. And you know what? The way he's playing, he might be.
He made the All-Pro team. Forget the Pro Bowl. He made the All-Pro team as a rookie. That's rare.
And I don't know, when I say I don't know, I haven't read it, that there's a no-doubter left tackle out there.
You're right.
So, Ira, the hire of Arians, did the Glazers basically, do you think it was a scenario in which they said around the conference table and said, look, we obviously don't know what the hell we're doing. We screwed up on the last 4 hires. You could make an easy case that they were all bad hires. Let's just buy the best thing we got available here. Arians is out there. Open the vault. Open the arms. Let him control this thing.
I don't think that's far-fetched, Steve. You know, look, the conversations kept leading back to number 3. All the conversations. Ed came in, Avi came in, you know,
allegedly.
Brian, Joel.
Allegedly.
It kept coming back to the guy on the center. How do we get him to the next level? Or how do we find out that we're moving on? It's a big, big question for this franchise. It's a difference maker for this franchise. And they looked around and they said, we got to go get the quarterback whisperer. If he wants to come back into football, let's go get him. The fact that he had a relationship with Light helps, but to me, Arians was going to take the job without Jason Light. I'm sorry. Again, he never worked with Jason Light as a general manager. He never did. So, you know, it's not like these are old times. Here we go again.
I know what you're getting at, but I don't think he'd be here if Light wasn't here.
Well,
because he knows Light. I mean, no, Light wasn't the general manager, but he was the right-hand man of Steve Keim, and he's not like uncharted waters.
If Ryan Fitzpatrick was the quarterback and Jason Light was here, he's not coming.
That's
he's
true. I agree with that.
It's an interesting dynamic. Lee was just monitoring the Rich Eisen show, and we learned that Byron Leftwich will call plays, and he became a real confidant of Arians. He played in Pittsburgh with Arians. The Cardinals fired their offensive coordinator in October, and things got better for Josh Rosen down in Arizona. So that's going to be an interesting situation. Arians had said if he came back again, he wouldn't call plays.
So Leftwich does not get the title of offensive coordinator?
No, he will be the offensive coordinator calling plays, and Todd Bowles is going to be the defensive coordinator. So we've learned that officially. Any reaction to Leftwich and to Arians not calling plays,
Ira? I'm trying to remember back, and I believe Leftwich was here in Tampa.
Sure.
And I remember him as a very honest guy. A good quote. I hope that doesn't change when he gets to the podium every week, speaking on behalf of this offense. Boy, that shows a lot of faith in Leftwich from an Arians point of view. The guy made his bones as a play caller, and he's darn good at it. So Cutter gives up the duties in 2018. The Buck offense takes off. Arians gives up the duties in 2019. Let's see what kind of effect this has. I got a question for you, Lee. From everything you've been gleaned and gathered, and you don't miss a podcast, I don't care if this if this is coming from Timbuktu, you pick it up.
What corner of the globe is Timbuktu?
How long has Arians been in the mix for the Glazers? How long? You think this just happened 10 days ago?
No.
Absolutely not.
My guess would be November. If I want to be a smartass, I would say the moment that Cutter benched Jameis.
Steve, November happens to be the month on this podcast, and you found the date on this podcast. I started talking about Bruce Arians as the guy that can keep Jason Light standing in the Buck executive suite. That was in November. Nobody else was talking about Bruce Arians at that time.
No, I have to admit, I said November, but when was Jameis benched? Was it October?
Start of November. Yeah, first game of November was Fitzpatrick taking over in Carolina. That's when he was benched.
Yeah, that if I had to put money on it, and I'm not really being a smart aleck about
it. Then they played Washington after that, I believe. Yes.
Yeah, 500 yards and 3 points.
Yeah.
My guess, if I had to lay money on it, my guess would be early November. If it wasn't when Jameis was benched, it was certainly when they had 500 yards offense and only 3 points.
Remember when everybody went crazy about when Arians said, I'm only interested in the Cleveland Browns. People went nuts. Hey, what are you talking about? He's out for the Bucks. He's not a candidate. What did we say on this podcast? Take it easy. It's the only job that's open. He's not going to talk about a job with a guy that's still coaching.
Openly, yeah.
That's
yeah,
silly.
We discussed that.
You know what it meant? It meant he's interested in coming back. That's what it meant. Mm-hmm. And the Glazers took note of that.
Yeah, I'm sure Light was selling him right there. You know, I mean, he would probably say no, but... You know, they have these meetings. They discuss what could be next. We have to be ready.
And it's about the time that Cutter's body language changed.
Yeah.
Another clue, Steve. We talked about it all the time.
Well, was it you, Steve, or did I hear this from someone else? It was a road game. Because at road games, very often, Light and his crew, they sit in a press box. And that's the norm for all NFL teams. On road games, the general manager and his trusted associates, sit in a press box.
And they monitor how many hot dogs you're eating, DeCamper.
Well, they got better things to do.
And the over-under's
11.
And
I don't do hot dogs. Bratwurst, maybe. But anyway, someone told me at the end of a game, near an end of a game, of course, it's been forever since the Bucks won a road game, one of Jason Light's group either kicked the chair or forcibly shoved the chair up against the desk where it made a loud boom. And the last... Just a comparison, the only time I ever heard the Bucks general manager staff do something where you could tell, oh boy, these guys are PO'd, was the Capitol collapse. And I don't know who it was, but I know Jason and his posse were sitting behind me. The slams on the desk and the audible sighs when that defense, Lovey's defense, gave up that lead. I knew it was curtains for Lovey at that time, so I compare that. Although I wasn't there, but I was told, I don't know, I can't remember if it was you, Steve, but someone told me, and I can't remember the road game either, that a chair that either Jason or one of his honchos were sitting in was abused, so to speak, because of the loss.
All right, Sage. So Arians, he's already making the national tour.
Already making the rounds.
Making the rounds. He's going to bring some swag.
He might be on Jimmy Kimmel tonight. Who's for all this? We know. Arians.
That would be with Disturbed. Disturbed.
He's
gonna, I know you got a one-liner about this. Disturbed is going to be on Jimmy Kimmel tonight. So here you go, Ira. I teed you up.
I'm gonna pass on that one.
Oh, I think you were going to say somebody's Disturbed.
He's going to bring some sizzle to this franchise, Ira. And frankly, the franchise has had no sizzle since Gruden left. And I think fans and media alike, I don't think they realize what it's like, local fans anyway, to have a high-profile, one-liner, you know, love-the-camera head coach in the social media age where it's going to take a new life covering the Bucks, and maybe you could share a nugget from how it was with Gruden as
a
superstar.
Well, look, as bad as it was with the Raiders this year. You know, they won four games. Gruden's constantly in the spotlight, constantly. Sound bites, moves. Nobody should have paid attention to the Oakland Raiders. They were a non-factor, you know, from mid-September on. They were out of it.
But they had a rock star as a coach.
Now, I'm not comparing Arians. Never been called Chucky. But he's a high-profile coach with a big personality. They did a football life on him. Guy never won a Super Bowl. Still did a football life on him. It's going to be fun times, interesting times at $1. And it's going to start on Thursday at the news conference. He'll have a couple of good one-liners. And you know what? So will I.
He's Buckle Bruce.
I'm going to ask him what he ordered at Ava. How do you like that? Meatballs, Bruce? What do you think?
Steve, when you said no sizzle, did you just mean the coaching? Or did you just mean the Bucks in general?
Head coach.
Okay.
Head
I agree
coach,
with that.
No sizzle.
I was
going
to say, Jameis brought sizzle to the team. I can't remember who it was. Someone with Sports Illustrated wrote, in back-to-back days in training camp, they went to the Titans and did a story on Mariota. They went to the Bucks, did a story on Winston, and they compared, and they're like, literally, they're writing, like, Winston's a rock star. Mariota might have had one camera crew and two reporters, whereas Winston, it was like six camera crews and 20 reporters hanging around him.
There'll be some national guys at training camp next year. You can bank on that.
Peter?
You can bank on
your boy Peter?
Yeah, there'll be a lot of intrigue to see what he does, but, you know, still, there's still no national buzz for the Bucks, even with this hiring. It'll help a lot. But
I think there's more buzz about Bowles being the defensive coordinator.
Well, it's because he's coming from the Jets.
Yeah.
That's why,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun, Ira. So here we are. We could speculate all day long about changes, but I think for now we're just going to enjoy the change. I know I'm happy about it. I hope you're happy about it because this was just depressing as hell these last 2 years. And here we are. We've got hope. And I know you're connected with the fans.
How's Arians doing on your vote meter over there? Early returns, Stevie. About 90% approval?
Oh, yeah, it was like 92%. They love the hire, but, you know.
That's a higher approval rating than you, DeCamper. That's outstanding.
I hope so.
Exactly. Me as well. I'm happy for the fans. I'm happy for myself because, hey, Arians is a legit coach, and you'll get a lot more answers than you'll get questions with Arians, which I think is a good thing. I can't wait to see how that hatchet goes in the locker room when he looks Jason Light in the face and says, that guy can't play. That guy sucks. And Light's like, all right.
Okay. You're right, Bruce.
You're right.
To add to your, Ira, your contention that Bucko Bruce brings sizzle to the Bucks, Adam Schein, I don't know. You ever been on Adam Schein's show? Adam Schein.
I've heard him quite a bit.
Adam Schein, who I think is a very, very underrated sports radio host. I know Steve likes him. I think the big lead said he was most underrated. But anyway, Adam Schein put out a poll on Twitter. Who had the best coaching hire thus far? Arians got 77%.
Well, there hadn't been too many coaching hires.
That's true, but still. The four options, who had the best coaching hire? The Bucks and Arians was 77%.
All right, Iris, send the good people of Tampa off into the sunset here with your sage wisdom. And keep in mind, everyone, that a good chance we'll have a little short post-Arians meeting podcast. And we're keeping it fluid in these changing times. Sage, take them home.
All right, I'll leave it with this thought. Even if Bruce Arians lasts only 2 years for health reasons or other reasons, I think he's going to make a big, big mark here. Somebody's got to turn this ship around. They've been piling into icebergs for 11 years, and he knows what a winning culture looks like. His pedigree is strong. He's worked with some great quarterbacks and made ordinary quarterbacks a lot better. I don't care how long Bruce Arians has in Tampa, he's going to leave a big, big mark.